Town one over, and this is The Visit with Willie on Saturday, the 27th of March, 1971. And this is just half of it. This is The Visit with Willie, this Saturday, Willie and Sybil. But this is only Willie's part. This Saturday at noon, the Before We Eat, the 27th of March, 1971.
No, it's fine, thank you.
I won't put you saying that. And here it is the last of March.
And it's cold enough out there to have an old coat.
But you can't tell what's going here.
Gosh.
We go out there in a minute. Let that wind settle down just a little bit.
Sybil and Mother are catching up on a few little things that Mother's making.
Yeah.
This dead burn thing, Willie, makes so much noise.
Maybe it's supposed to.
Now what? Now you see, this don't make a noise, a squeak, but this just, you can't. Look at that.
Well, I mean, you got a little more in this chair here, rather than you have the one you're sitting on.
Yeah. Listen at him.
Why, he just barking? Mm-hmm. That's the end of your coat.
Look here. Look at that, Willie.
Oh, yeah.
That way.
See, he don't stay long. He's the
kind of just about the thing around.
But he is the aristocrat. He don't eat and stuff like some of those things up there.
You take that home and feeding them cows grain. Just flock in there, you know.
Oh.
Sometimes you look around.
You
look around, you know, and the ground looks like the ground froze flew off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you'd be surprised to feed the haul off. Great. You go with haul off and feed.
Well, I love to see him eat it. Now, you see, he's standing up there on that little post now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have one of those out of your window, breakfast window there?
Oh, no, man. I ain't got time to be watching birds.
Well, you can do that while you're eating.
Time I sit down and eat, the birds ain't even thought about getting out yet.
Oh. Well, you know, I woke up this morning at 5:30, and it's just getting light. And I thought to myself, well, now, Miss Daisy down here, she's just rolling out now. And Willie, and of course, over there in his community.
They ain't even turned over yet. I didn't get up till 9 o'clock. Well, as a rule, I don't get up anyway until about 9. But I went up Thursday night and worked. First night I worked this week, I didn't have one night to make. I had like 8 hours and a half, 40.
Yeah.
So They don't like for you to have any holding time, you know.
Oh.
And so I had 8 hours holding time, and I claimed 24-hour sick time. So I had to work 8 hours and make 40 hours, see.
Mm-hmm.
And, so this Whittington boy went up to work up there, take the old man's place. He liked 8 hours and having 40 hours in last week. So the only way that he could build or add to his a catch up on that was to work a night for me.
Yeah.
And so I didn't work last night. I stayed home.
What been your symptoms?
Flu.
Just plain flu.
That's the first time I ever had. I guess I've had it before, but it didn't last as long, or it wasn't as severe, or whatever you want to call it. It's just maybe I was just in a run down condition. You see, I haven't had any cold or anything in 2 years or longer. And I've been feeling kind of run down and bad for a month or two. Ever since Christmas, it seemed like I've been, you know, going down. Then all of a sudden, this thing jumps on me.
Yeah. You up there where you can expose to a lot of things.
Oh yeah, but I didn't see Eddie Whittington got it too. And his wife got it where she's exposed to everything. That's at school down at Lake, North Marion High School.
Yeah.
She brought it home to him, and then he brought it to the work job to me.
Yeah.
And so, all in all,
what did it do? Did it have headaches and one thing or another?
No, I didn't have headaches that much. I had started off with an awful sore throat, chest.
Yeah.
Pain in my chest.
Oh.
Oh, man, I had. And around my back here, underneath both lungs, on both sides.
Yeah.
Man, that thing got hurting me so bad Sunday. Well, today, a week back was Sunday. Got hurting so bad I couldn't hardly breathe.
Yeah.
And then,
Oh, really?
Got some of that deep heat, several rubbed my back with it, and it stopped it.
It did?
Yeah, it just about, well, you might well say it made it stop. And then,
It gave you some relief.
Oh, yes. I mean. And then, I went to the doctor, and he gave me a shot and a bunch of medicine. I just, come by the drugstore, paid for it. I didn't have enough money. I bought me some, bought me some grain to sow, and by the time I got around to paying for my drugs, I didn't have enough of money. So I just took a little skin flint down there to put it on the hook, see, and I'd pick it up left. So I went by there and paid $18. For a shot and two little old bars of pills. That's a shame. Crazy.
You mean down at the doctor's down there?
Mm-hmm.
$18 for a shot and two little boxes of pills.
Right. $18 for a shot and two little boxes of pills. I think there's 12 pills in one, and there's 16 in the other, I believe. Either 14 or 16.
Yeah.
I know there's several more and one near the other.
Well, you gotta pay a income tax, you know.
You gotta have something to pay it with.
Yes.
And people, I'm telling you, it's a shame. But, You know, they've been talking about socialized medicine.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, instead of these people getting so rich, they're like this drugs down here. He charged me $7.95. That's a little bit of medicine. And it ain't worth it. But you gotta have something.
Yeah.
And you gotta have well, if you don't, it's even if they give you just a little flour pill, you know, something, a little dough rolled up, a little sugar on it, which didn't cost them hardly, well, possibly 0.1% of whatever they charge you. And but you take it, you know, and you feel like, well, it's doing you good. Whether it is or not, it's a, what do you call it, a psychological effect.
Yeah.
A psychological effect.
It's a colored water.
Yeah. Just like old man, I was looking at TV here the other day, which I looked at it a lot here this week. Ain't been doing nothing. And this old man had been taking his little old, was it pills or liquid? I don't remember now what it was anyway. There wasn't nothing to it. And the old man that, the doctor that had been giving him these pills, went amiss or something. Died or got sick. And his daughter, or his nurse, was kind of, you know, helping this new doctor get in the business with his everything. And so she just said, well, so this is, there's no medical term here for this stuff, whatever it is that he's been giving us, old man. And so she was a lady doctor. So she said she just quit drinking, you know, because it wasn't doing no good. But the thing about it was, it wasn't doing no harm either.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is with a lot of
you. Well, you know, it's so depressing. That's the one thing about getting sick. It's depressing just to think about all that. You're just making people rich.
Oh, yes.
Now, if you wanna just go ahead and divide the wealth, share the wealth, that's the way to do it. Get sick. You know, I've thought about that a lot of times. If a fella could get sick, and I'd have to be burdened with all that doctor stuff, and then if he had something that wasn't catching, well, he could sit back and talk to his friends a little bit. Now, that'd be the way to get sick, wouldn't it?
But it don't come that way.
Well, now, you haven't even felt... Have you been catching all week? Contagious?
Have I what?
Have you been contagious all this week?
I wouldn't think so. I think usually the rule when you such as this is in the beginning of, just like, you know, Sunday and Monday of last, or Saturday, Sunday and Monday of last week, I think that then was whenever I should have been careful of being spreading it, you know, or giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
I think then whenever I should have been.
Well, when you're there just sitting there watching television, you don't have the pain.
Oh, no.
And you can talk.
But the only thing is, with me now, I don't know why, but it's still, I'm dizzy. I don't know whether it's medicine I'm taking or I can't seem to get over this dizziness.
Yeah.
And, of course, my chest is still congested. And I don't know why. It looks like usually it's rude most of the time whenever you take a shot, you know, penicillin will clear up. Everything just goes away just fast.
Yeah.
But mine is not even thought about going away. And I just about done taking up all that $8 worth of medicine.
Well, now, my experience is, if I stay in the house and don't get hot or cold or something like that, my chest don't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But you let me step outdoors a day like this, or on a good day, go out there and get hot,
mm-hmm.
and I hear from it.
Well, I think that's what made mine worse. I went ahead and worked. Friday night and Saturday night. I should have stayed home.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Whittington was in such a condition until he couldn't go. He was sick. And, of course, I never had been sick like this before. And I said, well, I'm having my worst troubles right now. And I said, but I still can go. I said, I don't feel bad. I can make it all right. So I called him and told him, I said, well, I'll go up and work for you. I said, I don't feel too bad. And that's when I made a bad mistake. I should have been home in bed or out of the weather.
Yeah.
And I got up there, and Saturday night I had a chill. I mean, I had a natural one of these old-timey shaking chills.
Oh.
I mean, it rocked me from the bottom up. I said, great. They are sick. I never got so sick on my stomach. And weak, I got so weak I couldn't go. And so I hung around there until about 12 o'clock and I left.
Yeah.
Come home. And I didn't go back to more on a Thursday night. And actually, I didn't do anything Thursday night. I just hung around there until about 12 o'clock to come home.
Yeah.
But the thing that I shouldn't have done was work Friday and Saturday night. I'd have been over mine now. I'd have been in good shape. But like it is, I just asked for it.
Undoubtedly,
the weather changed awful quick.
Yeah.
Or either I was running a temperature and didn't realize it. I left the house Thursday afternoon with just a little thin thing you can see through it.
Yeah.
Well,
as a windbreak.
Mm-hmm. I got up then 9 o'clock. Why?
It makes so much racket. I don't know how you're wearing.
It does make a lot of racket.
Yeah.
I went out on the come out that guard shack, you know, to make a round.
Yeah.
And either the wind had got up, it got awful cold, or either I had a fever, you know, and sitting in that shack with a heater on, I didn't pay too much mind. And then all of a sudden, whenever I walked out, man, I had to turn around and go back. That thing just hit me, and I just went like that, you know, all over. I didn't look like I got high from anything.
Yeah.
I just plumb. After a bit, after shaking to death, I got weak then. And
you never had a chill when you were growing up?
Oh yeah, long years when I was a child.
Yeah.
Used to have that old fever, chill and fever they call it.
Can you remember?
Mm-hmm. Sick, ooh, God.
Can you remember shaking?
Yes, sir. And I'd beg mom to put a cover on me, and she'd just have pops of thick, you know, and even put pillars.
Yes, all that cover didn't do any good.
Didn't do a big deal.
You think it was malaria at that time? I can remember malaria.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. But you can you can almost taste that. I can. When the other night, I could almost taste that old fever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back then, of course, the way we overcome that was through this old bone set.
Uh-huh.
Everybody in the community had it. Of course, back then, you know, 40 years ago, people was more or less confined, whether they were sick or not, to one area.
Yeah.
It didn't shift like they do now, you know, all over the country.
Yeah.
We knew everybody though in a radius of so many miles because back then we did. Come Saturday, why everything was laid aside and you went around this.
Yeah.
And of course people helped each other more. But I know this old woman, she was real old. And various ones had this old malaria fever. Seemed like constantly, you know, all the time, you know, they had a fever. Or either they'd be bucking to keep from working or something. I remember their dad say, well, I don't know whether he's got sickness or not. He just wants people to go around, you know, and work for him. Back then, when the man was sick, why, everybody pitched in, did his work for him. Had somebody go down there with his cows every morning, every night. They would feed his chickens and his cows and his hogs and everything, you know, and work his crop for him. And I remember hearing Daddy say, you know, sometimes he thought that some of the people, you know, was just wanted somebody to work for him. And one man I remember used to say, well, and you talk about getting sick a while ago, you could just sit back, you know, and enjoy it. This old man, he apparently, from what Daddy used to say, he's going to sit back and enjoy it. Because he'd know, you know, that it seemed like his crop would always would get bad, you know, before he'd give up. Or before he'd actually start to putting on the complaints, you know. And then everybody going there, you know, and they'd weed his crop out and everything, work it out for him, and then he'd be all right. But
who was that, Roy?
Pardon?
Who was that?
This fellow by the name of Williams.
Have I heard you talk about him?
No, they did. I don't guess there's anybody to that living in that family. They were just an old couple within themselves.
Now, was that the old woman you had, man?
Oh, no. This old woman that had told Daddy about getting this bone set, a weed out of the woods, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, did it make a tea. She, her name was Linda, and she would go around, you know, telling people how to get well, you know. Kind of a, what do you call them women?
The midwives.
Midwives.
Oh.
And she knew a lot about herbs and things, you know.
Oh, I'd love to have talked about it to them, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Sure would.
You see, at that time you didn't appreciate them.
Oh, no.
Not but now you'd love to hear what they had to say, wouldn't you?
Oh, yes, sir. But I can remember Daddy got this. She told Daddy where to get this. You have to go to a wet area, you know, where the ground is wet, kind of springy like. You find this plant growing, and I never get that stuff. That ain't nothing in the world any better than that.
Bones.
Yeah, I've heard the name, though.
Bitter. Ooh, good gracious.
Well, with it, now you can't even get your own family to come help you if your crop needs weeding out.
They say, well, if you need any help, now just call.
Yeah.
And if you need any help, just call.
What's Frankie looked awful healthy over there the other Saturday. He didn't look like he's hurting himself working.
He ain't doing too much right now. His job is on the verge of, it's actually, you know, the old man's there. I sold all this cow just about, except 8-10 head. And he only works a couple, 3 days a week. The rest of the time he's pivoting around. But
well, that's enough if a man can live on it.
Oh, yeah. But now he had this thing last year, I didn't think he was ever going over it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a time. Just about as bad. Well, I guess he had a little harder time than I did because he was in bed. In bed for, seemed like close to 10 days, 2 weeks.
Well, what's old man Zetrower doing with just 8 or 10 cows?
Well, he's got to have a cow around till he dies.
He don't need them.
No, man. He's got some of his choice stock that he kept out of the herd, you know. Something he picked out just to have to play with it, look at it. But, you know, he leased his It's a pasty land.
Yeah. Well, what does Frankie do over there?
Just fools around. He just goes up and fools around with Alvin.
Gets paid for it?
Yeah. Alvin's paying more now to just fool around. He used to pay him to work. That's right. Frankie worked that for years. $1 an hour. And he's paying $1.40, $1.50, $1.60 an hour or something like that.
And just fooling.
Yeah, just piddling around.
How did you ever, now you never hired out to Mr. Zetrow, but you still got in with him on things.
I worked, still do all the electrical work, and some cars work, not much, mostly electrical work. And, in fact, last fall, he bought a heater, electric heater woman, took the air for him, and I did. I don't know, I wasn't my thinking wasn't up to a par or something, and I hooked it up on P20 and blew it up, sold wholesale for about $26-$27. And I knew what the trouble was as soon as it happened. I clicked it on and a little light come on. I said, well, it works. I was in a hurry to get to work up the job, you know. And so, Ms. Etter, after I left, she turned it on. It just melted the grill off the front of it. So, of course, they get very excited about these things, you know. And everyone comes to the house just raising hell. Ooh, he was all upset.
How'd he do it? What'd he do?
Something about the heater wasn't just exactly right. And so, I said, well, I'll check on it.
How'd he raise his hand with
it? Oh, he just tell me that he thought it was in the fault of the company, you know, built the heater. He just, you know, they better all do something about it. And so, when I told him, I said, well, I said, it wasn't the fault of the heater. I said, the fault of me. What? I said, well, I just hooked it up on 220. It's a 110 heater.
You did?
I said, I sure did. And I said, I've earned it. But I said, I'll buy you a new one. Oh, no, you won't. No. And you know what he done? He went right on that afternoon and bought another one. So that I wouldn't buy one, see. And I put it in for him and I told him, I won't charge you anything for putting it in. And I said, I'm going to pay you for the heater. Oh, no, he wouldn't hear that. No, sir, he'd get upset quick. But if it'd be anybody else who'd tear it up, if he didn't pay for it, he'd call the law. I don't know, he just had a way about it. A lot of people can't run for a reason. I give in to him, you know. I know his condition. I know how he is. And if he wants something bad enough, he gonna pay for it. Whether I do it or whoever does it, see. But the thing about it is, he knows that that I humor him. And this man come down and painted the roof, charged him, I think about $100 and some odd just to paint that roof. Well, the roof wasn't. And I told him, I said, that stuff ain't no good. I said, good hard rain and wash it off. Oh, no, man, guaranteed good. I said, well, I believe them same people been in trouble with the law up around Gainesville. I said, I think that's the same bunch. They done chased them out. No, he said, this man, he come from over there around Archer somewhere and said, he gave me his address and said, he lives over there at Archer. So, about, week or two, three maybe, month, it rained, the roof leaked. Man guaranteed it wouldn't leak anymore. And so the rust began to show back through at the spot. Well, he got on the phone and called Archie, called his number, and it's not this number is a phony number, see? And this address is a phony address. But I found out about it, because he was trying to get the law, you know, to get his money back. He wouldn't say anything to me about it. And so his wife said to me, she said, well, said, you know what you was telling them about the paint on the roof, I said. She said, well, so these people were hooked, so they just come through and they beat us out of this money and left. And said, you told that he wouldn't listen to you. And I said, I want you to mention it to him. I said, I won't never mention it to him unless he mentioned it to me. She said, that's the trouble with you. She said, you don't never say nothing to him about what he does. And says, that's the reason he always likes you. And he'll go to you for, a buffer. In other words, if he figures somebody's beating, you know, he'll come to me, you know, ask me what I think about it. But if he figures that I'm going to say, I told you so, he won't say nothing. He's just out of way. He ain't never mentioned that roof.
Yeah.
I ain't mentioned it. And he knows this. See, he knows I don't give him a hard time or don't say what I told you so.
Yeah.
So he don't say it.
Well, now, he was going to take out those windows, those little windows, and put in the big windows. What do you call those?
Take out an awning one, a jalous one, and put in an awning one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't humor him that time.
Oh, yeah. But he's something. Yeah, he told, first, you know, those old windows. I didn't want them myself, but I said something about, what is he going to do with them, you know? Said, well, so and so, I don't really know what he's going to do. So, old Jesse knew he was standing there, you know. And so he says something about the wonders, you know, the old Jesse could use the wonders to stop up holes in his wall. And
is that right?
He says, he just wondered if Mr. Albert was going to use them wonders. I said, no, he ain't going to use them wonders. I said, he don't have any need for them. And so then he takes three of them. Asked Frankie and old Jesse to carry him out to the barn out there, the old truck shed. And for me to get a bull, I think that's what you're talking about. He wants me to buy this bull. Or he's got this bull to sell. That's a oddball. And he tells me if I put the wonders in. I never did put them wonders in. Never have. The old wonders in the back of that old garage out there. If I put the wonders in, he let me have a bull for $200. He wanted $360, see. But if I put the winders in, he'd let me have a bull for $250, I believe it was. And something else I do, you know, it kept going on, you know, until finally I get the bull for about $150. Actually, he'd be just as well off to give me the bull and save money. He goes around in such a finagling way, you know, trying to, he don't want to say, I give you anything. And he extends you. But he don't want to hurt your feelings. If he figures he's ever going to need you, he ain't going to hurt your feelings. Not right off, anyway. He'll wind up, you know, giving you something that don't amount to a whole lot. Or this bull deal now. You see, I got a bull that comes from his stock.
Yeah.
from Frankie.
But not that same bull?
Not that same bull. Now, he was selling those bulls for $360.
Yeah.
But he said this bull had a little something wrong with it. And actually, what it was such a little old insignificant something that I just don't remember. But anyway, rather than for him to have to run the bull over or sell it on the market for beef, hamburger, he'd rather sell it to me for $150, see, and know that I'd use it for a stock bull.
Yeah.
But I didn't buy it. Another fellow did eventually buy it. They wasn't paid him $360.
Yeah.
For a stock bull. He's a sport, they all. Now, I never did do too much work for Elbert, his brother.
Uh-huh.
They twins, Elbert and Albert.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then there's one daughter, you know, Eula. Her husband was a school teacher. She's a school teacher there in Kennedyville somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like he worked out at university. He was some kind of instructor or professor.
I never heard you talk about Elbert.
Elbert lives down the corner. But I did a little work for him, but you know, Elbert wouldn't use me because Albert used me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Albert, he don't like, in other words, you might, you know, get your conversation, tangled up between the two of them, but one might tell you one thing and another one something else, get your stores over there.
Yeah.
So you just don't work. You work for Albert, you work for Albert. You work for Albert, you work for Albert.
They found out that's the best.
That's the way it always has been. I did a little work for Albert. I built some water trough sheds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps a little bit. But, it don't completely do away with that old growth that comes in the water trough.
Yeah.
It helps, eh?
What did you put out?
Built a roof over them, tin, sheet metal roof, you know.
Yeah.
Tin roofs over all the water trough.
Yeah.
He got them, I don't know, I built 5 or 6 different stations where he got water troughs, you know.
Yeah. Well, Willie, wouldn't that be better working around like that for those fellas? There's plenty to do. Wouldn't that be better than hiring out up there in town?
Well, that's true. There's plenty to do. And anytime you work for them folks, you get your money. And they pay you well, but then you got they just 1 out of 100 that'll pay you off or pay you what you charge.
Oh, really?
Most of the people out in that vicinity out there, they still want you to work on that same old basis 100 years back.
So. Dollar an hour.
And, right. the cost of living has gone up way over.
Yeah. Well, now, you say Albert is, he pretty much was sport?
Well, in one in 1,000, he's a different sport to what you ever heard tell of. Say for instance, he'd get mad and raise his hand, cuss, and carry on.
Yeah.
He'll pay whatever he owes you now. And, but at the end of it. But you know, he never has. He can't write a check. Ain't no telling how many $100,000 he's worth, and he can't write a nickel worth of good money.
Oh, really?
He went in bankruptcy back before World War II. And, he never has attempted to try it, so I've been told to clear his name. Everything's still his wife's name.
And,
Is that right?
Right now, he'll pay any bit, anything he owes. But he won't pay off his old debt.
Yeah. Well, he must owe Ryan Smart.
So I've been told. I don't know exactly how much I've heard, but I don't remember how much it was. But
$50,000?
Most of it. No. I just imagine back then $3,000 have been the extent of his debt.
Yeah.
Which he's made. Well, up until last fall, a year ago, he didn't have any cows last fall, said. Well, up until then, he'd sell $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of cows. Yeah. In the fall. You see, what he does is he gets these experts, you know, himself, and they grade these cows out, you know, and they have these feeder sales, you know, state feeder sales or state heifer show days, you know, bulls, when they have bull sales, you know, he always have bulls in those sales and heifers. And when he sent his feeders, he'd have 75, 80, you know, and it'd be just the same thing. He grades them down the same thing. He don't have, everything got to be perfection. Each one looks just like the other. And so, whenever he gets a check, it all looks like there ain't nothing wrong with it either.
Mm-hmm.
That's just type, that's the way he farmed all the time. Everything had to be just right.
Yeah.
But, anyway, he... he's made enough money. On one or two bull sales there to pay off his indebtedness in 1 year. And he worked at this thing since 1940. Back right after World War II, he ordered a bull from some part of the country, I don't forgot now where. And when it come, it was the biggest cow we'd ever, anybody in that community had ever seen. Never seen a cow. It weighed around 2 tons. I mean, weighed around a ton.
A ton,
2,000
yeah.
pounds, man.
Yeah.
They had to have a special foot doctor to come out there after, you know, while he got to. It was in a different part. It seemed like where he was raised, it was hard ground or something, you know, maybe it's on concrete. I would put him out in a soft field, you know, on oats. And it was soft. And his feet began to give way. He had to had to doctor his feet there all the time for a while. I remember. And it was some of the various black hairs. Breeders from other parts of the state, you know, was coming in. Al was a big shot, man. He had a bull that weighed so much, and people was coming. See, 2/3 of the university was out all the time looking at that bull.
Yeah. Hell, that'd turn a man's head, wouldn't it?
Oh. Yes, sir.
And you was over there, too?
Oh, I was there. Yeah, I was living right down the road whenever he bought it. Right after. Well, it was in 48, I believe. 47, 48. I come home in 46. I was discharged in 46. And it might be he got that bull in 47. But,
Well, Willie, you were right there next to him, or close to him. You could have just worked in with him.
I worked one fall, and not, well, actually, worked with his daddy that spring. And we made a little money. And then he wanted me to continue to work with him. I told him, no, man, if I'm going to farm and I got a share crop, I'm just going to quit altogether. Because I said, actually, and this is the truth, if a man can afford to carry it and make a crop for another fella that's got plenty of money, how come he can't make a crop for himself when he's broke?
Yeah.
He'll go out and do the same thing. And Albert was needing some help. Albert's health was bad at the time. In fact, been that fall, he had a kidney removed. And he wanted me to kind of work for him, you know. I worked by the hour. I didn't ever feel that. I think he paid me $3 a day.
Yeah.
Piddling around the farm.
Well, that wasn't too good, but was it?
Well, it wasn't too bad. He was paying the niggers too. And, we cooled around there until start about time to plant the fall crop. And he wanted me to plant some squash with him, and I did, and I shouldn't have. Didn't make no money off of it. Went in the hole. Went in the hole. And the little money that I made. Now, I was going. Let's see, how much did they pay? I believe it's $30 a week. On that GI Bill of Rights deal. I was going at $30 a week. I drew that for 4 years. That's where I made my bad mistake. Instead of using that to some good advantage, I just used it. See, I had, they paid me, I believe it was $30, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe $35 a week to go to school.
Yeah.
And you only had to go one night a week, see. And which was big money back then. That was big money. So that was more than I was making, you know, if I'd been hard grubbing. Well, I was supposed to have some kind of crop growing all the time. And the only way, see, I could draw this was that I had farm property. I had property. And my intentions were to farm, be a bona fide farmer. Well, that was as far wrong, I guess, as anything could be, because, of course, the instructor was just as much or more at fault than I was. If any time you did not prove up, any week you didn't prove up, or any month, you could be cut off soon. And they could take that money away from you. Well, they never did do that, you know. I never did know of any that got put out. Some of them never come. I went to school every week. I'd go attend the classes, you know.
Yeah.
And
just one night.
One night a week. And I went and didn't miss anything. Now, a lot of the boys, you know, they'd go just every other week. They'd go once in a while. And if you missed two nights in a row, you're supposed to end up for 1 week's wages, you know. But anyway, I didn't take advantage of that. I should have, instead of fooling with that, I should have put my time into something else, possibly, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or either went deeper into farming instead of just fooling along there. And what I did that fall, I worked with Albert, and I wasn't supposed to. But the instructor let me do it anyway, see. And he paid me, like I said, I don't remember now, I believe it's $3 a day. Or maybe it's $6 a day.
Yeah. But even so, that wasn't as much as you getting for going to school.
Oh, no. For doing that. And That's what I say, I could have been working my place, which that's what they was paying me to do, to work myself in a position where I could work without depending on other farmers or other people.
Yeah.
And instead of that, I was over there renting land from Tom, Dick, and Harry, and going in the whole truck farm. And when I, if I'd have taken that 4 years and fixed up, well, see, I cleared up the first year I was out there farming. I cleared up a little field at 5 acres there with a rubber hoe and axe. And I did I did that part time whenever I was drawing that money. But, and I had got a bulldozer back then for a fourth of what it costs now.
Yeah.
Or less. But I didn't figure I could afford it.
Well, what did you have in mind? Were you just sort of drifting?
Just drifting. And, you know, see, I was doing, when I laid my crop by, well, I'd go out and wire houses.
Oh.
And I wired these nigger shacks and things around brush lots, you know, and all around over the countryside.
They get your money?
Yes, I'd get what I'd charge. And actually, if I'd have stuck with what I was supposed to been doing instead of running around like that, and the instructor knew that I was doing it too. I didn't try to hide it from nobody. He could have had my money cut off, see, and then I would have had to went somewhere where I could have made enough to support my family.
Now, where was you living then, Willie?
Well, I was living over there on the road going to Walkahoota one 18 months. And then another short while I lived it down the road going toward Micanopy from the crossroad to Chilo.
Yeah.
The old house sitting up on the curve there.
Yeah.
I lived in that house. And I moved from there to where I built.
Now, you haven't lived in your home place there since you was a boy.
I hadn't, I don't guess I've spent the night there since I got married.
Oh, really? When did you get married?
1943.
Before you went there, how are you when you went to the army?
Just for about a year before I went to service.
Yeah. Faye?
Yeah.
Can we help you?
No, you can just stay right here.
Well, I'm satisfied right here.
If I
make any change, it'll be for the worse.
Oh.
Sybil and Mamu are visiting in there, and Mamu's showing Sybil all the things she makes. And they're just talking big.
Yes.
And I'm going to see about these potatoes and put on a little something we'll eat in a minute.
Do you remember we were sitting on there in your living room and you got off on something else and I told you I was still thinking about that, overhauling the car that we was talking about, or
the tractor.
How'd we get off on Joe?
Oh,
Joe Feinbaum.
Brian Park.
Yes.
For that same tractor.
Yes.
Brian Park for that same tractor. I tell you, that tractor business is something else. I got to buy, need to buy, Foley's regulator or either generator one. I hope I'd rather be Foley's regulator. Generator, if you get an airtight or dust tight generator for Ford, I think it's kept $50 bill. What I think I'll do is just pick me up an old 6-volt generator somewhere to fit that thing, old junkyard generator. goes to the bath, throw it away and go get another. Although, I doubt this generator's ever had anything done with it since it was built in 1952.
Oh, really?
I doubt it.
It held up pretty well.
It held up extremely well. The old voltage regulator is original equipment. You know, they got a lead seal on those old parts. They used to have them on car parts long back in the early 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And that seal never had been broken. Back then, I couldn't prize the part with a screwdriver. I had to take the thing over to the emery and cut that thing off with the emery to get it to the lid to come off to where I could look inside, you know?
Yeah.
But I can't tell what possibly it is. Might be a little something. It looks a little heated up in there, but.
You have to have a little gauge to put it on.
Yeah, you need
to check it.
Need a tester.
But you don't. Now you don't have any place where you can buy parts.
Not the tractors. I can buy some car parts fairly cheap, but you can't. It's just hard to buy tractor parts. I don't know. You just can't hardly get them. Right to the track people.
Yeah. And then they stick it to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looked to me like about all they want to sell to now is to the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
See, down there in your county, you live down there in that rich county.
Mm-hmm.
All those horse farms, they don't have to sell to anybody but those horse people.
And they get fat.
Yeah.
Well, what they do, I don't know where they put the old used tractors at.
Yeah.
But them horse people always buy and trade and buy.
Yeah.
And I don't ever see a used tractor much with any other than something real old. Now, Ford down there at Ocala's got a 8-in like this new guy, painted up just like a new one.
Yeah.
Ain't a dent in it. Got that thing painted up just like a brand new 8-in.
Yeah. And it's.
You know how much you gonna want for?
$2,000.
No, like that. It won't $2,000, but I bet you it'll want $1,000. If I'd have felt good yesterday, and it felt so doggy bad, I was gonna stop by there and ask them how much they want for it.
They will rebuild one for you. The motor. All the parts for $500. And the parts cost them.
they probably have to put about. Well, now to buy sleeves, pistons,
yeah.
And the whole shebang, they have about $100 in parts.
Yeah. Yeah.
They won't either. Because now we're speaking about people who can buy wholesale. And they won't have that. Now, with you, if you were in there to buy a set of sleeves for that tractor of yours, and I imagine that thing would run you $50 maybe.
Yeah.
And they could go in there and buy the same thing for probably $10.
Yeah. Well, now, Willie, there ought to be, for a fellow like you, you sort of got one foot in the business. You've done a lot of that work. There ought to be some place where you could buy.
Well, what do you do your hand like that and everything goes popping over here? I'm of this nature. I I'm not going to get down on my knees and beg a man, but I will do it a little.
Yeah, but you don't get much doing.
No. But, you can finagle.
Do you remember old Johanna? Johanna had a catalog there that you could order out of. And I checked some of the parts, and it was supposed to be just for, you know, just for, if I'd ordered my name, they wouldn't send it to me. But he could order it, and they sent him. But see, the service station, there wasn't much difference in the price.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't worth the trouble of ordering, you see. I forget what I checked with him on. It was something that was cost a good bit, but it wasn't anything, you know, special to it. What was that? Oh, I don't know, something like a bumper. It wasn't a bumper, but something like that. See, you couldn't go wrong hard on a bumper.
I think it's about time for us to eat a little bit.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Okay, I'll make a little. I'll get us going.
Yes,
yeah.
Get us going.
Joe, as I told you before, he just turned me a favor, too, you know, and got me started fooling me, see, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that manifold now, that old manifold on that AM busted. I went down to Ford place in Ocala and priced it. And, I don't know, $15-$20 difference in their price, the price of the one I got.
Yeah.
Ford place in Gainesville is a little higher than the Ford place in Ocala. Some kind of difference in the locality.
I can't hear over that. Let me get my jacket.
I'm going to.
No, go ahead.
Well, I can do it out here.
Well, put it out there then.
Yeah, I think that'd be better. Because I'm going to that triple washer.
Yeah. That's all right. I just couldn't.
Couldn't hear.
And the old Ocala price was less than Gainesville.
Oh, yes. And anyway, they had you talking about Johanna having that catalog?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Farnbar got a catalog. That's, I mean, about the same thing. It's a kind of an outlaw looking outfit. I mean, it appears to be, you know.
Well, is this socket out here all right for me to put this skillet on?
Yes,
it's just a regular socket
mm-hmm.
that the stove
mm-hmm.
put plugs in. It's not a special one.
No. And that's where he got this manifold ordered out of one of the little paperback catalogs.
Oh, really?
And it costs about. I'd say $10 or $15 less. And this is heavy duty now. It's a lot heavier but made bigger. And it made the tractor run better too than the original equipment did.
Oh really?
And I did know